All right, Kevin Barker. 7-6, the Blue Jays have beaten the Houston Astros in the second game of this four-game series at the Rogers Center. A great deal to get to about this game. We will listen to John Schneider, the Blue Jays manager, and see what, if anything, was up with Jose Berríos tonight. We are, let's face it, not used to Jose Berríos not getting through six innings at home. 12 consecutive home starts in which he lasted at least six innings. He made it through five tonight. But, Kevin, I want to talk about that final at bat. Chad Green on the mound looking to close a game out. Jeremy Peña's on second after a leadoff double, two strikeouts. Jose Altuve's up at the plate. It's 4-for-10 with two home runs lifetime against Chad Green. Okay, that is a small sample size. Were you thinking what I was thinking? Ed, were you thinking at all about putting Altuve on and going after Bregman? Altuve 3-for-4 tonight, Bregman 0-for-4.
Yeah, look, Altuve's third in hits in baseball, too. I mean, you have to think about it, right? You got to make sure you're careful. You got to make sure you really don't throw him a strike. Let him get himself out. And, you know, that's sort of, I think, what Green did. It's you put yourself in a tough situation when you hang a slider to a, you know, to a guy, a right-handed hitter that, quite frankly, you shouldn't have hung a slider to. You put yourself in that position, and, you know, this gets back to a pitching coach and a manager that sort of knows his pitcher or their pitcher better than we know him. And, yeah, it would have been tough. Bregman, I think, is 5 for his last 31 in the last seven games, so it's not exactly like he's been getting a ton of hits. And, you know, Altuve had three hits already. So, yeah, you'd have to think about it. But, again, this gets back to that thing. If he's going to be your closer –
oh yeah.
You know, you might as well let him, you know, go out there and try and get out whoever he's facing and not put more traffic on the bases. So I will say this, if you walk him, you're one step closer to getting to Alvarez. I think that's sort of too, you know, kind of what they're thinking there is, you know, if he loses command, now you gotta pitch to Alvarez. So yeah, you know, you live and die, you make a good pitch. Most of the time you make a good pitch against the guy, you're gonna get him out, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and it was and it was funny because had it backfired, I was prepared to come on here and say, because I knew we'd be talking about
this. Are you going to rip him?
No, I was not. No, I was going to say, hey, man, if you're my closer, I understand Jose Altuve is a great hitter, but if you're my closer, and you're going to have to be my closer, it sounds like, for the immediate future, well, I mean, I can't always be walking guys. Now, I understand this goes against what Buck Martinez said. Buck Martinez's point in Blair and Barker today was, hey, one of the things you do when you face the Houston Astros, make sure that you don't get beaten by Altuve, Alvarez, and, of course, when he is in the lineup, and he isn't in the lineup, no Kyle Tucker. But there you go, 7-6. The Blue Jays have hung on for the win. The numbers to call, as always, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. The team's exchanging five-run innings. Sorry, the Jays got four runs in the third inning, had a 5-0 lead. Houston came back with five runs in the fifth on a home run by the aforementioned Alvarez. And then they made it close, Kevin, the eighth inning. Yordan Alvarez reaches on an infield hit. The throw is high, takes him to second base. The Jays try the pickoff. That doesn't work. Ball goes into center field, and you end up seeing the sixth run score on a grounder. And I think we're all probably at that moment thinking the same thing, that it's starting to unravel for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, look, I think it's more intriguing for us to find out what's up with Berríos, right? The 60 pitches, only the 11 slurves. I mean, that's not a ton. I think that's the fewest amount of slurves he's thrown in the start this year. You could tell in the dugout, it looked like he was stretching. He was trying to get loose. He was doing exercises with his shoulders.
He was doing that thing with the two balls.
It looked to me like when they took him out, he was pointing to Vladdy, sort of reaching around to his back. It looked to me like he was trying to let them know that for whatever reason, he couldn't get it loose. Now, I'm assuming, just looked that way to me when I was watching. So, yeah, you know, again, that's his best pitch. And you see how he pitched to Alvarez, right? The first at bat, the 2-1 changeup for the double play. Then he doubled up on the changeup with the lazy fly ball to right. And then the 2-0 changeup and the 3-0 changeup, he hit to the moon. So you wondered why he was throwing all those changeups in the same spot. And it kind of adds up when you're not throwing your slur. Maybe you don't have the good extension that you normally have. And you
I was
sort of
also
have to do what you have to do.
Genesis Cabrera was warming up at that time when Alvarez came to the plate. So I think, you know, well, again, we'll wait to hear what John Schneider says after the game. But Buck and Dan both alluded to this, and I know Chris and Ben as well. We're so used to Jose Berríos giving us six innings that when you see something like that, I guess the good thing in some ways is you automatically assume that there's something nagging, something small, because, again, we know what Jose Berríos usually does. Kevin, we got to talk about George Springer. Well, Spencer Horwitz homers in the third inning. George Springer hits a three-run shot. That's George Springer's ninth home run of the year. And, I mean, he's not on a Vladdy type of heater yet by any stretch of the imagination, but he's making an impact offensively.
Yeah, they're hitting fastballs. You mentioned the third inning. Horwitz, the 1-2 fastball down and in the home run. The Vladdy cutter up and away for the double to left center. The Turner four-pitch walk, which he's, you know, having a real good eyes now, all of a sudden laying off the elevated fastball for the most part. Springer got a 1-0 fastball a little down, hit a three-run homer. It's free and easy. Doesn't look like he's overthinking it. Looks like he's looking for the same pitch over and over again. When you get to two strikes, you battle. Right then, now you can go up and occasionally educate guests, which is what he likes to do. The little mechanical change, holding the bat a little straighter up and down, is you just allowed him, I think, to free it up and eliminate a move. Eliminating a move allows you to get to a little bit more velocity, and now you can talk yourself into doing certain things and certain at-bats, makes you a tougher out. And, you know, Barger even had the RBI double left center on the fastball. So, you know, we talked about this today. Why is it so easy to get this team out in fastballs? Now all of a sudden you're seeing it third and fourth inning. They can actually hit it if they're looking for it. So put that to rest.
Well, I mean, 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Josh in Kelowna, BC, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey guys. I have to say, I really do love your intro music for Blue Jays Talk. It reminds me of a really cheesy 70s game show or 80s game show.
Yes, it
I'm not
does.
Really sure. I'm not sure which one it is, but I love it. I love hearing it every time.
Great.
The question I have is the concern with Varsho. I mean, he is in a serious slump. And I'm just, you know, when I look at the future of this team, I think they're out of it. I don't think there's no chance they're going to make the playoffs. And so looking forward, like, I love him as a player. I love his overall speed and his defense and everything like that. But, I mean, is he a guy that you think that you can build this team going forward with? Let's say they keep Bo and Vladdy. Like, is he a cog that would be a piece on this team going forward? What do you think?
Thanks for the call. I mean, you know, I've operated under the assumption since the trade was made that Dalton Varsho was going to be a key part of this organization. I will say this, you know, to get a little political here, it's a pretty significant trade that the general manager made to bring Dalton Varsho in. And I think as long as Ross Atkins is the GM here and Mark Shapiro is the president, Dalton Varsho will be here. I would not at all be surprised if somebody new comes in here if they just don't immediately turn around and try to turn Dalton Varsho into something else. You know, great. We talked about the powers there. Inconsistent. He's hitting under 200 now. My goodness, we were talking about this guy as a possible all-star representative. With the Blue Jays, and Kevin and I talked about this a little earlier. That was a while ago, by the way. We talked about this a little earlier today in Blair and Barker. I don't know. Dalton Varsho, best case scenario, maybe platoon and a defensive guy. But I don't know. Right now, I mean, right now, I don't think they have any choice, right? And barring, you know, let's wait and see what they do and in terms of player moves, but right now they have no choice but to have Dalton Varsho out there.
Well, next year somebody's going to have to play center. It's just the fact that you're hitting him at the top of the order. Sometimes you hit him in the middle of the order. Sometimes, I mean, he's the bottom of the order guy who plays elite defense.
Yes.
That's okay. If you leave him there, absolutely you can play him every day, but you got to go out and get thumpers. You got to get run producers, and then you can hide whatever he's not doing offensively. He'll hit 20, but he might hit 190 doing it. That's sort of what it is, right? And every once in a while when he gets on base, he can steal a base. He's a baseball IQ guy. We all know what he can do on the defensive side. It's just what they've been trying to ask him to do sometimes is top of the order. I know they haven't been doing that lately.
Clean up last year. I mean, they had him as a cleanup hitter last year.
It's just not fair, man. It's just, you know, he's not capable of doing those kind of things right now. And And it's just because of what they didn't do the last couple of off seasons to solidify middle of the order guy who comes up and can drive in runs. And then you're putting dudes in positions that, you know, they're just having a tough time doing. So, absolutely. Like, he's a part of the team for me. The way he plays defense, you know, the lunch pail kind of thing, can write his name in a lineup every single day. You know, when the ball sit anywhere in the same area code as him, he'd run through a brick wall to catch a baseball. So, yeah, you need Dalton Varsho's of the world on your team. You just don't need him hitting top of the order or middle of the order.
Wally in Mississauga, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Gentlemen, you've got a great show. Both
Thank
of you,
you
together, fantastic. I've got a
both of us.
You
think both of us are fantastic? You don't think one's more fantastic than the other?
He's got a flair to him. Oh. You know, he punches in when he gives you a right hook once in a while.
Well,
but anyway, that's here nor there. You got a great show, and I'm glad you guys are here in Toronto.
Thank you.
Anyway, I've got a question to ask you guys. I've texted it about four or five times, never got an answer.
There's 30 that's baseball. Show's fault. That's not my fault.
I hear you. I'm not a real baseball guy. I'm a hockey guy. But there's 30
that's
baseball
okay.
teams, and I would like to know from Major League Baseball what the pitch count is for bad calls. What is the average? Is it 24 pitches? Is it 30 pitches? Is it 36 of bad calls within the whole league?
Jeff?
Thanks for the call, and thank you for the sentiment. And thank you, Mr. Barker, for throwing me under the bus. Look, I don't think umpiring's as bad as Kevin thinks it is. To me, it's been basically the same all along. The personalities are different. I do think that the advent of technology has put a lot on the plate of these umpires. Other umpires didn't have to worry about that. Like Frank Pulley and those guys, they didn't have that stupid box in the TV set, so the entire country couldn't see how they messed up a strike zone. You know, the other team's manager could, and fans could argue about it, but there wasn't that evidence. I'm gonna leave it at that. Is it great? It's no better or no worse than it's ever been. It's no better or no worse than it's ever been.
Yeah, it's not saying a lot. I mean,
what
you just say right there. Like, say it like it is.
It's no better or no worse than it's ever been. It's like officiating in every sport is like that.
Yeah, it's never going to get better unless they start doing things about it, right? Hold them accountable.
Like
if they stink, send their ass down. You know when I stunk? You know where I was at? Not in the big leagues. How about that, Jeff?
Then you're going to bring up a guy from AAA who's used to the automated balls and strike system, and then he doesn't get it up here.
If you do it enough, sooner or later you'll find one that's good.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's exactly the way it works.
That's complete and utter horse hockey. No.
No way.
No. You aren't going to be able to find 30 good umpires in AAA. I mean, you're just not.
Hot. Yeah.
Well, you're not.
There you go.
So, I mean,
that's the worst answer you've ever given.
No, it isn't.
Down,
it's a perfect answer. It's no better nor worse than it's always been. The personalities are different.
They don't hold them accountable. How dare we pick on?
Wham.
How dare we put that little tiny box so everybody can see how bad you are? Oh,
except
it's the highest level.
But
you've been there a bazillion years.
But that box is in the strike zone.
Yeah, Major League Baseball's had forever to eliminate the box. Do they?
Yeah, but it's not. It's
no,
not
they
the
don't.
Strike zone. Well, the reason you put it on there is because you got TV people who need to have it on there, and you got a generation of baseball fans that are too damn stupid to sit there and watch and make up their own mind about what's a strike and what's a ball.
Wow.
I mean, that's what it is.
Well, that's everybody's
exactly
perfect like you are.
Well, that's not that I'm perfect. I don't need a bloody box. I can figure out what a guy's strike zone is watching the game on TV. I don't need a
damn
box.
That stinks. That's what we know it
there.
Is. It stinks.
I don't need a damn box out there like some, you know, amateur fan.
I love it. That's what they get. That's what they get.
416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. That's a long post-game availability for John Schneider today. We'll find out what he's saying. Hey, Nate Pearson, has he invented a new pitch?
Way better.
He's throwing a two-seamer tonight. It sure looked to me like it was a two-seamer.
Well, coming into tonight, righties were hitting 301 and versus the fastball, Jeff, if you're asking. The batters are hitting 354 and slugging 585. So you better start adding something that's got a little late movement to it to change it up just a tick. And, you know, again, if he can throw the slider like he did for strikes, the curveball like he did, and get that top of the zone 98, 99, that's called pitching.
Yep.
It's just consistently he has trouble doing that, and you see he's very erratic with the fastball. Occasionally he'll throw down the middle. He's pretty predictable with that thing occasionally when he's wild with the two secondary things that he falls in love with. So yeah, it's Pete Walker's genius, just, you know, trying to say,
let's be clear. Like, just time out here. It's not like Nate Pearson just, you know, came up from Buffalo today. So my question to
is it the first time he's thrown it?
Buck and Dan sure sounded like they were surprised, and they've seen a whole hell of a lot more of him than you or I have. So my question is, why the hell did it take so long?
Well, why is it taking so long for the whole entire lineup to hit a fastball, Jeff?
Well, they did in one game.
Yeah,
I mean, and now you're going to say that everything's changed. Today on Blair and Barker, you spent an hour talking about how they couldn't hit a fastball. They managed to hit a couple this year off of whatever the hell the guy's name, Spencer Arrighetti. They hit a couple of fastballs off him, and now you're all of a sudden they're fastball mashers. Spencer Arrighetti, sorry. What did I did say
spaghetti.
Spencer Spaghetti.
What's the matter with you?
I didn't mean to say Spencer Spaghetti.
You did too.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. I'm told nobody asked about Berríos in the post-game news conference.
Be quiet.
That's what I'm told.
That's not true.
I'm reading from Show Ali, our producer, who listened to the post-game news conference.
Wait, is that real?
I guess. I'm not going to do people's work for him, but that would be my first question. Anyhow, maybe we'll hear what Jose Berríos says. Maybe he has an idea. I don't know. It's just, you know, that would be the logical thing for me. Anyhow, John in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, John?
Hey guys, I was listening last week. You guys were talking about Springer and he'd be prime candidate for trade, and his bat's kind of heated.
No, we never said he'd be a prime candidate for trade. Never.
You were like he's dog water and blah blah blah.
No. Hang on for a minute. I'll let you finish. But here's the thing. I never used the phrase dog water. I might have said that he sucked because he has for large parts of this year. But at no point have we said he's trade bait. The dude's got like $59 million left. He ain't. I mean, unless what's his face Tony Reagans has been named GM of the Angels, the guy that took Verna Wells's horrible contract. That contract isn't being moved. So I don't know what show you're listening to. I mean, maybe there's a fantasy show where they're talking about George Springer being traded. We never suggested anybody would want him or that you'd be able to trade him. Anyhow, continue.
I ate so many loony dogs that I could have a diabetes clouding my mind. But
Can I just tell you something? Can I just ask?
Yeah.
What's this thing with the hot dogs?
It's terrible, but I don't know. There's lots of things wrong with
meat. You know what they say
so
about hot dogs, right? It's the only meat a vegetarian can eat. Like, I don't understand why. I don't get the whole thing with hot dogs, man.
I think my colon's impacted from them, but I won't get that.
Listen, one of my summer jobs involved overseeing the manufacturing of hot dogs, and if you got an hour, I can tell you a pretty good. Anyhow, go ahead.
And one final thing. So. And I might be wrong about this. Again, it could be the loony dogs. Did Nate Pearson not have, he had like Lyme disease or something like that? Am I wrong?
Thanks for the call. Lyme disease. I don't know about that. I don't know. I'll have to take a look. Not in the last week, I don't think. He had Lyme drive disease, but I don't know about Lyme disease. God. Barker, say something while I Google. I'm going to go to the Google machine. Lyme disease.
What?
All I get is a cocktail recipe. Lyme disease and Nate Pearson. Go ahead, Barker. Say something intelligent.
Good luck. What just happened?
Chris Christopherson says that he had it.
Didn't Bieber have it?
Justin Bieber had it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see Lyme disease and
I
major
think old
league
boy's making this
players.
Up.
I think he probably is too. I think
he
maybe
had about
his,
35
maybe
too many hot dogs.
His colon may not be the biggest issue. But anyhow,
what just
there you
happened
go.
There? What?
I don't know. I mean, the guys. I was
he dropped
in here with
dog water on us.
No, I was in here with LaRue and Ben Shulman, and first of all, they were slagging Dodger dogs, and there's no need to slag Dodger dogs. And then, they should have their license revoked for daring to criticize In-N-Out Burgers, as if In-N-Out Burgers are overrated, when everybody knows that In-N-Out Burgers are heaven sent. I mean, they are. It's right there in the Bible.
What's happening
In-N-Out
to this
Burgers
show?
Are heaven sent.
Seriously.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Maybe we're just giddy because the Blue Jays have won 7-6. Yeah. And they are now 39-and-do-do-do. It doesn't matter. They've won 7-6. We're going to take a break and come back with more Blue Jays talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
John, what do you think of the job your bullpen did today?
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Big two innings from Nate. I thought Trout threw the ball real well. Gives up the, kind of the seeing eye hit there to Yordan, and then gets the second. We didn't really help ourselves getting him to third, but to kind of keep that inning where it was great. And really can't say enough about the job Chad did. You know, leadoff double, and then you get two huge strikeouts. And then you just don't want Altuve to come up there, right, with coming. I thought he did a great job navigating the pinch hitter and Cabbage and kind of bullying him with his heater. And I thought overall, man, Nate kind of gets overlooked, you know, when it's a two inning stint out of the pen.
All right, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Let's get the show back on the rails. Shall we? The Blue Jays have beaten the Houston Astros 7-6. No more questions about dog water, hot dogs, or George Springer. Adam in Victoria, I'm counting on you to restore some order to this train wreck. Go ahead, please.
Adam? Oh, no, it's Avram, A-V-R-A-M.
Avram, pardon me.
Victoria.
You know what? Okay, God's okay. Honest truth, I've got Adram here, A-D-R-A-M, so I tried to split the difference, and I screwed up. Sorry, Avram, go ahead.
Thank you, you got it. sorry, I'm a bit nervous. First time I've called, and I have super ADHD, so bear with me for a second.
Okay. No problem.
My point is about Bo Bichette. Mm-hmm. And how abject he has been at the plate this season. And it's not just that he's not performing at all, not hitting. Mm-hmm. His defense is, again, regressing to where it was several years ago. But he just does not appear to be enjoying himself. He really does. He's a fairly dour character. But at this point, he's going up and he's just swinging at these balls, and that's not him. He's a two strike hitter, yeah. Mm-hmm. And after that, he dials in, and he just seems completely disinterested, and he swings away and walks away, and I don't know, but my feeling is that perhaps when he wasn't extended, he's begging it. He just doesn't seem like he wants to be there. Doesn't look happy. Well, he really looks happy, but. He doesn't look happy. And maybe he's just that's it. But I would trade him now. I would keep Vladdy just for the smile on the hitting. But I think, forgive me if you're going on, but
No, that's fine.
Yeah, I think Bo should perhaps be traded.
Avram, I appreciate the call. I'm gonna pass it over to Kevin Barker because he's just been itching to get at this. At this question, I mean, I can't disagree with anything Avram said. About the extension, I mean, you know, Bo and his agent did get a 3-year contract worked out with the Blue Jays to take him through arbitration. I admit I am puzzled that did not serve as a launching point for a more substantial extension, but. you know, Kevin, he's 0 for 4 tonight with two strikeouts. I'm almost at the point now with Bo where, and I understand why John Schneider put him in the leadoff spot. Mm-hmm. Against righties, I move Spencer Horwitz up to the leadoff spot. I have Bo hit second. Against lefties, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I leave. I don't know what I would do with Bo. I mean, you can't bench him because you don't have any. I mean, if you bench him, you're looking at an infield of Clement, Jimenez, Horwitz, and Vladdy. That's, I don't think, something too many people want to see right now. So I that's what I would do. I mean, I'd take him out of the leadoff spot, hit him second. I like Spencer Horwitz. You know, Spencer Horwitz sees a lot of pitches, all that stuff. Maybe that helps Bo. But other than that, you know, Vladdy's cooking. Got to leave Vladdy where he is. Justin Turner's cooking a little bit. Got to leave him where he is. I don't know what the hell's happened to George Springer, but I do not want to touch that. That's like the third rail right now because whatever the hell's happened is working. So then you have to ask yourself, do you put Bo into the sixth spot? I don't know.
Yeah, I think they've tried it already. I think if you want to lose him more, you move him down. If you don't care about him, you don't care about his production, you don't care about his feelings. You know, you talk about this core thing. The core is two dudes. Bo's the core. Like, mm-hmm. It's as of right now. I mean, that could change in 4 weeks. But, you know, to the caller's point, I mean, sometimes I don't think failing is supposed to look one way or the other. Different people handle that in different ways. And I think, to me, it just looks like he's trying to handle that the best way he can handle it. He's late. When he starts to kick his leg is late. Like, he's getting a bunch of good pitches to hit before he starts chasing the sliders and the fastballs in off the plate. It's just when he starts the leg kick, it's late, right? And it's just sort of, you know, him buying in and battling with the two-strike thing. I think he's so late and his timing's off so much and mentally he's just not engaged before two strikes that it's very hard to get into the grind of when it gets two strikes, I'm going to go to mm-hmm. that thing and I'm just going right. to fight and claw. And it's
can't
just,
really switch it. You can't switch it on and off, can you?
No, you can't. It's just, look, every hitter has been there. I mean, this dude's led the American League in hits a couple of years. Like, you know, he hasn't forgotten how to hit. It's just when timing's off with all the parts, and normally it just takes one little part of that being off, like when you start the leg kick, and because that sort of ignites everything, right? That ignites the trigger, which is the curl of the barrel behind his head, and you know, just when he sort of starts the separation between the hands and the front foot, it's just not getting down on time. Like those fastballs that he normally is catching out front, getting to the finish, and driving to right center, he fouls over the first base dugout. So, you know, how do you fix it? Who knows? I mean, it's been 3 months, Jeff. We said this today on our show. It's a pretty big sample size, and that'll make you wonder. That'll make you wonder about the conversation off the field, what they're trying to do to get him right. You know, it just sounds like he's going from hitting coach to hitting coach. That never works. Like, you know, just saying it a different way, I'm just not sure that's going to work. It's going to ultimately come down to him and being on time. How does he consistently get ready to hit? I say this to you all the time. When you take a strike or take a close pitch, does it look like if you wanted to swing at it and hit it hard, could you? Most of the time right now, it does not look that way with him. So, until he gets to that point, moving him down the order ain't going to help. They want Horowitz in front of Vladdy because Horowitz is getting on base all the time. That's what they want. They mm-hmm. want traffic on in front of Vladdy. Bo ain't getting on in time enough for that to even be warranted of those two switching spots. So right now it is what it is, man.
So let me throw this out there. If George Springer continues to show some life, do you move him back into the leadoff spot?
I wouldn't. I want him coming up with traffic.
Yeah,
I want him hitting a three-run homer.
That's fair.
And the bottom of the order for the Blue Jays right now with no IKF and Kiermaier not doing anything, is that Ooze and Dalton Varsho down there? They ain't getting on base. So I want right now this Springer coming up with Turner on base and Vladdy on base and maybe Horowitz still on base and maybe doing some damage with the heater. So
let me ask you this about Spencer Horwitz. Three home runs now. This was his third home run of the year. 377-foot home run on a 1-2 pitch. I think we're on the same page as Buck. I really want to see this guy play as often as he can at second base. I want to see what the Jays have. His swing, Kevin, how much power do you think could be in that swing?
Enough. I think that's it. I mean, maybe a 15 homer guy, a 30 double guy,
right,
and drive in 70, 75 runs a year and hit
that
close to 300. I mean, that's hitting in front of Vladdy, hopefully, if Vladdy's still here and that's the way they want to go as an organization. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, he's the one guy in the order that hits it where it's pitched. If the ball's away, he hits to the left. The ball's in, drop the head on it, get it in the air. Because you got good rotation with your backside, you throw the hip at the baseball. Like, it's just sort of eyes are going and the barrel's following. And when that happens, that means you're not thinking about anything but seeing the ball out of the hand and everything's sort of taking care of itself. He's losing confidence, and that's why they're sticking him in a two-hole in front of one of the hottest hitters in baseball, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Makes total sense.
Well, it was a rare off night for Jose Berríos, but the Blue Jays won nonetheless, 7-6. Chad Green coming in and locking the door in the ninth inning with the tying run in second base, retiring Jose Altuve on a fly ball to center field. You already heard. We talked about George Springer, a three-run home run. Spencer Horwitz, his third home run of the year. Jays score 5 in the third, 1 in the first, and they add 2 more in the fourth. They win the game 7-6. Game 3 of this 4-game series goes tomorrow night right here at the Rogers Center. And as always, Kevin Barker and Jeff Blair will be along tomorrow from 4 to 6 Eastern on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet with another edition of Blair and Barker. So from all of us here, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Hawkesbury and Rockland. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection.